Well, hello and I'll treat to all of you out there.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us. It's a bit dreary out there and rainy. Of course, it has been for the last few days, but it's nice and warm and toasty in here, I'm going to tell you, as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. It's been a journey with the holiday Christmas shows. We started out a few weeks ago with the greatest Christmas pageant ever over at Theater for Mid-America, a show for children. They have shows that go on daily, I think 10 a.m. and noon over at Theater for Young America over at Union Station, followed up with A Christmas Carol, The Nutcracker. We've progressed on a couple of Christmas shows to tell you about today. A show, Christmas Ain't a Drag, the musical, produced and performed by David George, among others. We're awaiting David's arrival here, and we'll talk about that. His show starts off on Friday the 18th at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Madrid Theater, just down the street at 3810 Main Street, Christmas Ain't a Drag. Then later on in the show, some of the ladies from the Heart Song Ensemble. That's one of the Brown Bag Winter Concerts from the Kansas City Women's Chorus. We'll talk with Cindy Shepherd, the artistic director, and Scott Myers from the Westport Center for the Arts about that. But as we wait for David George, guess who happened to be in the building? Musician and author Ron Roberts is with us. Welcome once again to the show.
Always good to see you, Michael.
And you had no idea that you'd be going on the air.
This worked out really well. I actually have kind of an announcement to make. I came down to see Barry, and because I have over 100 compositions that have never been played.
Really?
And when we did a show last fall on the Thursday night on the weekly spotlight of a retrospective of my career as a jazz composer, and it featured my music, and it featured the members of my old band, the Ron Roberts Concert Ensemble. And at that point in time, Paul Evans, the guitarist, says, "We should do one more gig together." Yeah. Well, we're going to. We're going to do a world premiere at KKFI in March, probably, of some of my compositions. And that will definitely be my one last performance. I'm going to practice and get in shape one more time.
Well, don't say one last. That makes it sound like you're never going to play again.
Well, I've just turned 74, Michael. I have no hands left. I'm going to pick pieces that aren't too difficult so I can play. But we're going to do that sometime in March. It'll require me practicing and getting in shape again. And the other thing is, we talked about the David Riggs book when I was here before. That started selling again.
Oh, really?
In Europe.
In Europe?
I have royalties accrued in both euros and in British pounds.
Did he pull any of his shenanigans in Europe as well?
He was all over the world. He was worldwide. Yeah. I mean, that was a big... I got involved in a big international case there because at which point... I met him when he was 15, and he was a student in Raytown. And he went on to become pretty much world-famous international con man.
Yeah.
And
you have a book
I
to that
I have an inside track on it. I worked on the book for 3 years for your listeners. It's called Hollywood Grifter by Ronald Roberts. It's out there on Kindle and at Amazon.com. It's an amazing story of a guy who was brilliant, who could have done anything he wanted to do, but all he wanted to do was steal. And he was really good at it.
He geared his talents towards rooking people rather than to some worthwhile enterprise.
Well, he was the narcissistic antisocial personality.
Yeah.
Like I had a psychological consultant do a profile on him, and she pointed out, there's no fix for that. That's a lifetime deal.
No fix.
There's no Prozac for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, his escapades were all over the world, literally in South Africa, where he tried to steal the impounded rhino horn, and it started picking up again.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for sitting in. When is your concert going to be?
Sometime in March, probably, whenever Barry and I can work it out.
But it's going to be right here at the radio station,
yeah,
Barry?
Yeah, on a local showcase, we think.
On the local showcase?
We're going to do a world premiere.
Hey, but never say you're never going to play again.
Well, you know.
Because you never want to say never.
My hands may say I never want to play again. I call up my drummer, my old drummer, Don Van Fleet, and ask him to do it, and he practiced, and he said he had hand cramps so bad that he couldn't play anymore.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah.
Well, good luck to you.
Okay,
the name of your latest book is what? Ron Roberts, 40 Years?
The latest book is about my adventures, my 45-year wild ride in the jazz world, mostly humorous stuff, called Close Enough for Jazz, My Life on Bass. It has a 5-star reader's rating, and it's available at Kindle or at Amazon.com.
Great. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Ron. David George has arrived. I knew you'd make it.
Ron, pleasure to meet you. Yeah, thanks for filling in there for me.
All right. Oh, Ron, don't forget. Hey, Ron, don't forget your Cake Dennis CD.
Yeah.
Right here.
Your stuff rocks, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, David George, was it a harrowing ride for you?
I haven't seen my father in a few days, and he's in a skilled nursing center out in Overland Park. It's the farthest reaches of Overland Park. And the traffic just would not move for me. And I'm just like, I gotta go. And I was flying, and I was like, I can make it. And I literally heard your theme song going, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can still make it. And there we are.
Well, I'm glad you did make it safely. David George is with us. Did I call you David Roberts before? Ron Roberts is with us. David George is with us right now. And David is a musician, primarily. He's also a writer. Producer. He is putting on a show. He also played with John Fogerty. I want to come for a while. Yeah. But he is producing a show that is going to open, according to what I have. If that's changed, let me know. Friday, December 18th,
correct.
8 o'clock p.m. at the Madrid Theater, just down the street. Another performance is scheduled for Saturday, December 19th at 4 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon.
5.
5 o'clock in the afternoon.
I think it's 4:30 doors. We have a matinee at 5 and then another show at 8.
Okay, and at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Madrid Theater, kind of an unused facility right down
the
street.
They're just starting to do more shows there. It's been, they did shows for years and then became primarily just an event space. And when this project came up, it happened to come at the right time. A little prematurely because they weren't really wanting to do any big shows until January, but it's fallen into place and this is going to be off the hook.
Well, great.
I'm excited. Tonight we're doing a little preview tonight in front of friends. So if you want to come find me on Facebook, and I'll let you know where it's at.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's I'm excited about this. This is a lot of fun.
Well, you sound like you are.
Yeah, thanks. You know, I have a quick story. I was listening to your theme music on the way in, and that brought back all these memories of when I first moved to Hollywood after graduating at UMKC. I worked in the film industry for many years, and I remember where I worked on this movie called That's Entertainment Part 3.
I wasn't aware there was a part three.
Oh, maybe it was two. Part two.
There were two at least.
It was two. Yeah. It was two.
That's okay.
It's been that many years.
There probably has been a three.
I don't know. But who sang that? Was that Ethel Merman? No.
Oh, I'm not sure. The theme song of That's Entertainment?
No, the song you played.
That was Ethel Merman.
That was Ethel Merman.
From No Business Like Show Business. Yeah. From Andy Get Your Gun.
Andy Get Your Gun. Well, but that song reminds me of working on the show. It was just literally interviews, how they made a movie out of movies, of musicals. And I got to meet Gene Kelly.
Oh, wow.
I met Mickey Rooney, Esther Williams. It wasn't... Ethel Merman. It was Esther Williams. Mm-hmm. And Sid Charisse and all these people before they passed away. And that song just brought back so many memories of the entertainment industry. And the show must go on. It's just there's no business like show business. Because I'm sitting here worried about ticket sales for my show this weekend. I'm going, oh my God, I got so much promotion to do, so much work to do. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's because I love doing what I'm doing.
Well, of course.
I love making music and watching people go, this is cool.
Well, of course you do. Speaking with David George, he's primarily known as a musician, but I know you're more than a writer, producer, actor in this show as well.
Yeah, I'm acting in the show.
The name of the show is Christmas Ain't a Drag. The musical is the second incarnation of the show.
Well, this is the first as a musical. For the past couple years at the Record Bar, we've been doing just the music. And each year I've written a few more songs, and I've written even more songs for this year, and I decided to write a dramatic portion. And Chip Miller from, assistant director at the Kansas City Rep, is directing the show for me. So we've got some nice touch by the wonderful Chip Miller, and a little repertory incentive there. So yeah, it's a whole step, like not a step. This is like Neil Armstrong on the moon. This is a huge leap. Special for me.
But. Well, it's an actual story along with the music, with members of the cast.
Yeah.
Tell them just briefly the storyline of the show.
It's about a young guy who goes to Hollywood to seek his fame and fortune. He leaves his loved one back in the Midwest, and while he's out there, he realizes L.A. is not the place to be at Christmas time because there's no snow, there's no season or spirit like he misses. So he comes back only to get dumped. And that's where our show starts. It's him going to this nightclub to drown his sorrows. And in the nightclub, there's a band getting ready for the big Christmas review. And he sees this beautiful lead singer. And he's like, oh, my God. And falls in love. And it's kind of a little twist on, like some Like It Hot, you know.
Sure.
I'm not going to give away all this.
Oh, no.
It's called Christmas Ain't a Drag.
Don't do that.
Don't say anything.
Don't do that. Wasn't it the comedian Rodney Dangerfield who used to say, holidays here in California, they take out the green plastic plants, bring in the brown plastic plants.
That's
the season changes.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But that's going on. Oh, portions are proceeds.
Yes.
Will go to support the Like Me Lighthouse organization here in town.
Yeah, they're just down the block here.
Yeah. How many actors? How many musicians?
So we have, there's four cast members singing, and then we have two, we're calling them dragettes. They're primarily singing backup, kind of like a Little Shop of Horrors kind of, you know, doo-wah thing. And then we have a 9-piece band, 4 horns, bass, keys, guitar, and drums. And that's pretty much it, all on stage at once. It takes place in a nightclub.
Sure. Well, that's going to happen first on Friday evening, 8 o'clock p.m., Friday, December 18th, 8 o'clock p.m. Two shows that I've got down here for Saturday, 5 o'clock p.m. and 8 o'clock p.m. at the Madrid Theater, just down the street from us, just a little north of the Unicorn.
Yeah.
It's becoming quite the little theater district.
With the Warwick turning over to that. Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a great little part of
nice time. Little theater district with KKFI right in the middle, pretty much. That ought to be great. 3810 Main, the number I have to call. Now, correct me if this is old information now. 1-800-745-3000. That's the number I have to call for ticketing. Or you can go online. Christmas Ain't... Don't put the punctuation in there. ChristmasAin'tADrag.com.
Correct.
Can they order tickets online as well?
Yes. There's the company that website is on there.
Do we dare tell them they can just come to the door, or do you expect to be sold out?
You can come to the door. It's tickets are going, and it'd be like there are reserved seats, and if you want to get good seats, and there are plenty of good seats available. I would get them as soon as possible online or call that number.
1-800-745-3000. Or go online, ChristmasAin'tADrag.com. There might even be a number for the Madrid.
Yeah,
I bet you that would work, too.
There's a website link there for tickets.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, who are some of the other performers in the show you'd like to mention?
The fabulous Shea Estes, who's one of Kansas City's amazing jazz singer, who works with the Big Band Liberation Front, I think is what they're called.
The People's Liberation Big Band.
Right, Jeff Hartsberger. And she performs at the American Restaurant, I think, every Wednesday. A lot. She's around town a lot. Chip Miller's directing it. Ryan McCall, who is the music director on a show I did at the Rep this past spring, but he's the music director for KU, University of Kansas, Drama Department. And we also have... Francisco Villegas, a.k.a. Pancho, performing, and then yours truly, and then one of my favorites and good friends, Doug Brewer, who's our Miss Holly, and then our dragettes are Rhiannon Birdsall and Camry Ivy.
Yeah.
And then lots of music with Ryan Heinlein, Juliana Mengucci, Kyle Hall, Ian Colbert, and Nate Nall, myself, and Ben Byard.
Now, if this works out, are you going to schedule more performances before Christmas? Is that a possibility?
You know, I there is always a possibility. Yeah. I mean, as much as I love to perform, if the demand is there, the supply will follow.
You think this will be an every year tradition?
That's what we're hoping for. It's a lot of fun. It's different than the usual fare of, you know, Christmas Carol and Mannheim Steamroller, yeah, Trans-Siberian Orchestra. You know, it's in the vein of like Brian Setzer's Christmas Orchestra. It's a big band. It's kind of fun. I was inspired by a lot of the music from the 60s as I was a kid, and Liza Minnelli and all that stuff, and then seeing Brian Setzer's Christmas show. And I said, I want to do something like this that they just will keep playing every year, and it doesn't have to, I'm not the star. I just the guy that put it together. And that way people go, oh, yeah, all right, cool.
Well, you're the producer, so essentially. Well, you are the guy that put it together.
I'm the Wizard of Oz. I'm the man behind the curtain.
Yes, that's right. And in front of the curtain at times.
This year. Yeah, when I told my fiance, I was like, yeah, the big plan is to take this on the road all of December next year. And she goes, and you can do that from home, right? I'm like, yeah.
She understands show business, yeah, doesn't she? Show business and touring.
Yeah, she's been with me since the Fogarty. I mean, that's been about 3 years, and she witnessed that firsthand. But that's a whole different level of anything I've ever been or most of my friends have ever been a part of. It was private jets and fancy hotels.
All that.
It was just like, you know, you get a lot of amenities, and it's cushy.
How did you hook up with him?
My manager at the time in Los Angeles, we were actually parted ways just because I wasn't doing anything here in Kansas City, and he was working with John, and John needed a new guitarist, and I just came up at the right time, right place, and sent John a couple of videos of me playing some of his songs, and he's like, perfect, the fit. So, unfortunately, being here in Kansas City, I lost the job because he needed a guitarist in L.A., and I wasn't ready to move back to L.A. because I had lots going on with my band and a wonderful fiance, and my family's here. So it was kind of hard. I'm sure I could have twisted my arm a little bit, and the money was really nice. And, and how often do you get to, you know, play with people like Paul McCartney or Bruce Springsteen?
I don't see how you could turn it down, really.
And when they dangled the Super Bowl in front of me, I was like, Yeah, I could keep doing this for a while. It's weird doing someone else's music after years of doing my own.
Sure.
But, you know.
Does he travel, like, all year long? You wouldn't have time to do both?
No, that was the problem. He doesn't need to. Oh. He travels when he feels like it. He'll go, let's do a tour. So it'll be 3 weeks or 5 weeks. Or he doesn't like to push too hard because he's not, you know, 20 or 30. And he's got, you know, kids that he likes to spend time with. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, you know, when he feels like, you know, he needs to make an extra house payment or, you know, buy another house out and hit, you know.
Buy another mansion.
Exactly.
So you're used to vans and packing up and moving
vans
on.
And cars and sleeping on hardwood floors and whatever. We did. And it's hard going back.
When Kiss played here a couple of years ago, they had like six large moving vans for all their stuff. It was just a huge effort to move them around.
Yeah.
He might have not had as much stuff as them, but still.
Do you remember a band, Outhouse?
Uh-huh.
They toured with Kiss for a little bit, and I didn't get to see them with Kiss, but I remember the story that they told me when they pulled up to the arena, and Kiss has, you know, 10 semis and 5 tour buses and all this stuff, and Outhouse pull up in their little white van. Hey, yeah, we're the opener. And they're like, no, you're not. Said, no, we are. We're the opener. And they pull up in this little beat-up van. It was classic.
Oh, I remember seeing Moody Blues years ago. And the opening act was Jimmy Spiras, acoustically.
Wow.
Yeah. And pretty much a cappella, too. I don't recall him even playing that much. That was really? At Kemper. That was that long ago.
Kemper, wow. Yeah, it was a cool show.
It was probably the early 80s out in Kemper. But that was a pretty cool show.
Yeah.
Early.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. I gave you a CD. Are you able to play anything?
Yeah, it's on cut number 10. What's on cut number 10? That's where it come up.
No, I put cut number 1. Yeah. One or 9. That's number 1's the theme song.
Let's see if it works.
All right. We'll find out.
Okay. So somebody needs to come in from the outside and help Michael out with this. When we get it ready, what are we going to hear?
We're going to hear Christmas in a Drag.
Oh, okay. We need to hear that. We need to yell at somebody.
I'll yell.
And say that this isn't working. They could probably fix it in 10 seconds. We're speaking with David George, musician, writer, producer of a new show that's opening this Friday. It's called Christmas Ain't a Drag, the musical. He's the producer. He's the writer. He's one of the actors. Of course, one of the musicians in the show. And we're going to get set up here.
Track one.
Yeah, it's track number one. And it's just not coming up for me.
Sorry, we played a little last-minute show at the record bar last night.
David George singing the feature song from his show, Christmas Ain't a Drag, the musical, opens this Friday, December 18th at 8 o'clock p.m. Performances continue then on Saturday, December 19th at 5 o'clock p.m. and 8 o'clock p.m. at the Madrid Theater, just down the street from us, 3810 Main Street. The number to call for more information is 1-800-745-3000, or you can go online, christmasaintadrag.com, for more information about the show.
Ticketmaster.
Or ticketmaster.com?
Yeah.
Or ticketmaster.com,
yeah,
also.
Thunder the Madrid is also on a Christmas Ain't a Drag.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of ways you can make your arrangements for the show. You've probably all heard the story. The Chiefs stopped doing their touchdown anthem, the one you would hear after the touchdown at Arrowhead, heard for years. But they made a change.
Yeah.
They picked one of David's songs.
I know, right? How crazy is that?
What was that like? Did you have to audition songs for them?
No. I wrote the song last year for the Kansas City when the Royals were in the World Series, just because this town is such a great town. It's like very supportive, and you saw it at the parade this year. This town just goes nuts and very supportive of each other. And
absolutely.
And I wrote this song because I love this town, and I wanted to go like old school Lieber Stoller rock and roll, and I put it up on iTunes and Spotify, and it just kind of faded out. And then somebody called me from Chiefs headquarters and said, hey, we came across your song, and we're looking to find some new music for the season. And I'm like, cool. And then they called me a few days later and said, oh, so now we decided we want your song to be the touchdown song, but we're putting it up against some other songs to see, you know, what the fans think. Because we don't want to just say, no, we're going to go with this song. We want to give them, you know. So they picked two other songs, and mine won. And
that's great for
you. Every time they score a touchdown, I'm up there. Hey, Kansas City.
That's great for you. So they went from Gary Glitter to David George. It's got to be a kick for you.
I'm in the same category as I'm not going to go. Sorry, Gary. I don't know you. I'm not going to mention.
Every time they score a touchdown, you hear David George.
Yeah.
They score many more touchdowns this year.
Knock on wood.
Years to come.
Yep.
And hear your song. Let's see. Okay.
That's it.
Got to wrap it up now.
See you Friday night. Christmas Ain't a Drag.
Right. Christmas Ain't a Drag, the musical. With David George and others, of course, Friday, December 18th at 8, Saturday the 19th, two shows, 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. at the Madrid Theater, 3810 Main. The Madrid has quite a history as well. The number to call for more information is 1-800-745-3000 and online at christmasaintadrag.com and ticketmaster.com to see the show. Thanks so much for dropping by.
Thanks for having me.
I hope your dad gets better.
Oh, he is mending. He's doing well.
I lost mine about a year and a half ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I know what those times are like. Thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we return, we're going to talk about yet another Christmas season event. We're going to cover them all before we leave. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM. Welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Invite you also to tune into Art Speak Radio on Wednesday at the same time, 12 o'clock noon, when Maria's guest will be Miles Nettinger, Sean Pavey, and Heather Thornton. That's Wednesday at noon on Art Speak Radio as KKFI covers the arts for the area of Kansas City, Missouri. Well, welcome back to the show. Our guests now are from, primarily, the Brown Bag Concert Series of the Westport Center for the Arts. And they are presenting the Ensemble Heart Song, which is part of the Kansas City Women's Chorus. Correct? Am I explaining this? so far. With me is the Dr. Cindy Shepherd, the artistic director for the Women's Chorus, and Scott Myers, who is currently the board president of the Westport Center for the Arts. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You for being here. You have a concert coming up on Friday, December 18th. I have 12:10 p.m. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, usually.
If that's the one that happens at lunchtime, that's the right one.
But usually they say 12 o'clock or 11 o'clock. It's just 12:10.
We give people a chance to clock out.
Oh, and 10 minutes to get there.
There you go.
That's right. And then before they go back to work. And it's going to be at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church. That's down at 1700 Westport Road here in the Westport area. We're at 39th and Main. But for years, the radio station was down at Westport Road. In Roanoke.
Yeah, you were pretty close to it.
Yeah, so right. we got to be a heart in the heart of things here in Westport. I once was introduced to the mayor of Westport. people didn't know that Westport had a mayor, but they did.
They had a mayor.
They did. And they had a tree lighting ceremony, too, at the intersection by Southwest Traffic Light. There's a little tree in the middle. But maybe they don't do those things anymore. But the Ensemble Heart Song will be performing on Friday, the 18th, at 12:10 p.m. And you're the artistic director of the Women's Chorus and of Heart Song.
That is correct. Yeah.
So what's it going to be like? What have you got planned?
Well, the Kansas City Women's Chorus is a 100-voice chorus, and we just finished our first concert together this past weekend on Friday and Saturday. Heart Song is comprised of 12 women from that group of 100, and they represent us out in public when we need to have some representation, because it's a little hard to move 100 ladies around.
It is.
And so what they're going to be doing on Saturday are about 45, 50 minutes of excerpts from our concerts this past weekend. So mostly holiday music.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Kind of a holiday theme.
Exactly.
Multi-denomination-wise.
Yes. You know, a little sacred, mostly secular, mostly the fun parts of the program,
sure.
The things that your grandmother would sing along with. And we're just going to help everybody get their jingle on while they have their lunch.
Yeah, and it's a time when you usually don't have concerts happen during the lunchtime.
Exactly.
But it's part of the brown bag luncheon concert season.
Yeah.
And that's where
the
Westport Center for the Arts come in, because you have a series of these brown bag concerts.
Yeah, we've been doing this for quite a few years. They actually even go back before the Westport Center for the Arts, which is almost 10 years old. But they've been going on for a long time, and they attract an interesting crowd of people who are, you know, just looking to relax and maybe even find a little inner peace, you know, in the midst of the week by listening to music.
Well, absolutely. They used to be in the church that had the fire a few years ago.
Yeah, we used to. And they will be again real soon. We would have liked to have had this one there. It's just about rebuilt, and it's going to be an amazing acoustical space. And it should be done within the next 6 to 8 weeks. But it's been a long journey. It's been about 4 years. Emmanuel Lutheran has been very generous and kind to open up their space for the Brown Bag Concerts for these past 4 years. And this one's going to be there.
Yeah.
But soon they will be in the new space at Westport Press.
Yeah. A lot of people have been very accommodating for you in this time.
The community has been wonderful. The architectural firm, BNIM, Paul Zanelli Law Firm, A.L. Huber General Contractors, Emmanuel Lutheran, Community Christian, Westport Coffee House. I mean, you know, the list is endless of people who have been wonderful.
You have a variety of things. You have reading sometimes. You had a play.
Yeah, we're a multidisciplinary arts organization, which is its own challenge because most arts organizations pretty much have a single focus.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a Westport Center for the Arts Theater, which is more and more getting into stage plays, but also does readers' theater.
You had Walter Coppedge, was it last year?
Walter's done a lot of things with the Westport Center for the Arts over the years. And So we've done that. We just finished up Prairie Village Christmas Companion. It was kind of a spoof.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Kind of a spinoff.
That was a radio. It was a radio.
Yeah, it was
play
kind of
on
a radio
stage.
Idea. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was fun. We've done that for a couple of years. We just had a reading, actually, of a play I wrote called Stealing Kandinsky. Was up at the Buffalo Room a few weeks ago. And we're going to have some other programs in theater coming up in the winter and in the spring. And then we had a program called Kids Team Up for Art, which is where a group of children, teenagers, with an artist create as a group a work of art. And this is running in, like, maybe right now 4 public libraries in KCMO.
Oh, that's great.
Bluford is one of them. They've been at Northeast. They've been at the Plaza. So we do that with the theater, the Brown Bag Concerts, and then we've had some special programs, too.
Yeah. Speaking with the president of the board of the Westport Center for the Arts, Scott Myers, and the artistic director of the Women's Chorus, Dr. Cindy Shepherd, with us, talking about primarily about the concert they have coming up this Friday, and you know it's coming up soon. And you told us a little bit about the what's going to be on the bill, mm-hmm. music-wise, mm-hmm. and all that. But you're doing the smaller group this time.
It is the smaller group. And they have selections that they learn that just the small group learns. But then they're also usually ready to sing any of the works that the larger group has done as well. So we have a variety of programs, and that group goes out. We sang for a business women's breakfast up in the Northland last week, and for an apartment complex holiday party down in Johnson County the week before that. So that group stays quite busy. They rehearse an additional 2 hours a week in addition to the 3-hour Monday night rehearsal that we have with the larger chorus. So those ladies are very involved and very committed to the organization and representing us and singing a lot of music.
It would be hard for 100 women to go around to all those gigs.
It really would.
But for 12, it's not so bad.
It's not so bad. And
well, when did the Women's Chorus get started?
They were organized in 1999. Hmm. Just finished their 15th year last year, celebrated that, and they hired me in June. And so I'm sort of looking at it as helping them kick off the next 15 years. And so looking where we can go. In fact, we named our theme for the year as the sky's the limit as to what we can do.
Sure.
And we're just looking to broaden our focus. When I started in 1999, Dr. Stephanie Henry helped organize the group. There were some women who said, why can't we have a group like the Heartland Men's Chorus? And she happened to hear them talking and said, well, we can.
Of course you can.
And so they did. And they started with about 30 women, I think, and they've since grown to over 100.
I know what people are thinking right now. Is there an audition process? Do we have to sing for Dr. Shepherd?
There is an audition process.
I hope so.
It's gentle, and we try not to be intimidating, but we want to make sure that you're in the right place for you. But we also have some non-singing volunteer ways that you can be a part of the chorus, and we have folks that do both of those. We have some husbands and wives who are there almost every week, and they just help with logistical details, and we call them our groupies. One of the things I have loved just in these few months that I've been with the chorus is seeing just how committed these women and their various spouses are to volunteering their efforts to make the organization work, because it's there's a lot of work to be done. They're basically trying to present a professional show and professional entertainment to the Kansas City community, but they're doing it with volunteer efforts for the most part. And they are an amazing group of women, and they're very committed to giving back to the community, not just at performing musically, but in doing service to the community. And we've got a list in each of our programs of the many organizations that our women contribute to, mostly with time and talent.
Sure. Mm-hmm. For a volunteer organization, that's especially important.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. What are you looking for in the, I don't know, do you, seriously, do you audition people yearly? Do you really need anyone now? Maybe you're full up. Maybe you don't want to go to 120.
Well, actually, we started out the season with 120, and then you know sometimes family commitments interfere, and folks have to drop out. Or we had a few that were ill at the last minute, and after having spent the whole session preparing the music, were not able to sing the concert. So, but we are always open to have auditions. We have auditions at the beginning of each concert session. And so we will start up again in January, on January 4th. And any women who might be interested in being a part of the chorus are invited to join us for that opening rehearsal and then can also plan to audition the next night. So they can kind of see what they might be getting themselves in for and come in and audition the next night. If you go to our website, kcwomenschorus.org. There's information there about who to contact if you're interested in auditioning. And our audition coordinator is fantastic. She is great about returning any of those contacts and will answer any questions you have and make sure you're feeling extremely comfortable about that audition process. We just ask that you come in and allow me to vocalize you, see where your range is. We check your pitch memory to see, you know, if I play some notes on the piano, can you sing those back and match them? And I'll have you probably sing something simple like Row, Row, Row Your Boat. Truly an unintimidating audition, but I make sure that I get the information that I need to know that you're going to be...
So you can tell from a short piece like that what their level might be?
Exactly. And if you're willing to try and you can match pitch, we've probably got a spot for you.
Well, my next question was going to be, what are you looking for? Sopranos, altos, there's not too many women bass.
Well, you know, we've got some women who can sing mighty low. We've got low altos all the way up to high sopranos, and we usually sing four-part music. So soprano one, soprano two, alto one, alto two. And our altos tend to sing almost in that tenor range on much of our music. And so there's going to be a spot for you.
Is there a good song to pick to audition with? Some songs are really... Sometimes people pick, you know,
the
Impossible Dream, and that's very difficult. Other people pick easier songs.
Well, and that's true, and that's generally why I don't like to ask people to prepare a song, because sometimes the song they prepare is a song that they love, but it's not a song that loves them. Mm-hmm. You know, we sometimes pick things that work, that we really enjoy singing along to the radio with, but at the same time, it doesn't necessarily highlight the best features of your voice. So I try to run you through some paces that allow me to hear where the best part of your voice is, and we try to get you in the right section and all that. Now, Heart Song has the audition in it. Once you have auditioned into the choir, if you're interested in the small group that's going to sing on Friday, that audition is a little more challenging because, number one, they're learning sometimes twice as much music, and all the music we perform by memory, and so that's also another challenge for some people.
With a smaller group, you have to be really good.
You really do, and so I'll check sight reading ability and that kind of thing. And with only 12 people, we also have to determine whether the blend is going to be right. So I'll usually invite them to audition to sing with us in a rehearsal situation where I can hear how they're. Individual voices blend with the group that's already there.
Yeah. I was sitting in an audience one time for auditions for a community theater production of Annie, and I swear every little girl that went up there, the sun will come out tomorrow. And I feel for the director in a situation like that. So something short, something simple, but something they can do well.
Exactly.
That shows their versatility.
Exactly.
I would expect. Speaking with Dr. Cindy Shepherd, the Artistic Director of Women's Chorus, and Board President Scott Myers of the Westport Center for the Arts. How far ahead, Scott, do you plan? Like, do you have plans for next season already? Bet you do.
The season's planned through this year, and you know that would be through June The concert that's coming up on Friday is definitely one of our exciting concerts for the year. Holiday concerts have been a real important part of the Westport Center for the Arts. I was telling Cindy before the program, one of the exciting concerts we had, we produced a CD of Christmas spirituals by a really great tenor who now sings with the Met chorus in Metropolitan Opera Chorus.
Oh, wow.
Robert Hughes. Did a holiday concert at one time. One that we've got coming up, it's always popular, is the Martin Luther King Day jazz concert. Oh. That's going to be at Community Christian this year because we just can't count on it being at Westport. That's the Doug Talley Quartet or Quintet. That's always a fun concert. And there's a whole group of them scheduled through through June, and pretty soon, I'm sure, Lyra Farrago, who is now managing the Brown Bag Concerts, will be working on the schedule for the coming year.
I'm sure you get some named people to do things for you.
We've had some wonderful people working for us. You know, Marion Thomas directed the concerts for quite a few years. Another great concert we have, unforgettable, and it's actually on YouTube, parts of it, is the late Ron Brown and Marion did a concert. Ron was like the first premier African-American classical pianist in Kansas City. They did a wonderful concert called One Piano, Four Hands. They did that twice as a part of this series, and there are a lot of great people that have made this series popular.
I saw your harpsichord ladies one time.
That's her. Yeah. That's Marion. Yeah, she did a concert a couple months ago of harpsichord music.
Yeah. Mm. Exciting things going on in Westport.
Well, you know, Westport is a great place for the arts, and hopefully it's a great place for the arts to, you know, change the world.
Yeah.
In a way, or at least change us from the inside. Ron Brown used to use a phrase, I don't know where this fits in with your world, but he used to use a phrase I like, that he said he liked it when he was inside the music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I think that's when the arts can become have some transformative power in people's lives. I hope so, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This play that we did recently called Stealing Kandinsky, the main character in the play is an African-American artist who wants to have an exhibit of his collected works at the major art museum in the city that he lives in and has worked in for many, many years. And that's his fight. That's his struggle. And one of the reasons to put on a play like that is to, hey, that should happen. That should happen here in Kansas City. Because it is happening in some other places, but it should happen right here. And so the play is both art, and yet hopefully it's also art that can become life.
Yes.
I mean, that's what we want to see, right?
Well, that's always important to connect.
Yeah,
artists want to connect at least on some level.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not artists, but also musicians, singers, as well as actors and all of that.
Yeah, right.
Do you pump up your people by telling them, you know, there'll be someone who has not seen something like this before that will be impressed?
Absolutely. In fact, I usually tell them, you may not like everything that we're singing, but hopefully you like something that we're singing, and we feel the same way about our audiences. We like to think that we're going to program something that is going to speak at least, there should be at least one thing that speaks to every person in our audience,
mm-hmm.
and so that they have something to take away. We when we talk about who we are as the Kansas City Women's Chorus, we say that we try to inspire through performance,
mm-hmm.
We embrace diversity, and mm-hmm. we advocate social justice, and we try to do all of that through our music.
How about how many concerts a year does the Women's Chorus or Heart Song do?
Well, officially the Women's Chorus presents two major concerts a year. The one we just completed this past weekend, and we do two performances of each of those concerts. The next one will be in April 9th and 10th, and we'll feature guest artist, blues artist Kelly Hunt, who's quite popular in the area,
mm-hmm.
and we're so excited about having her join us. Then Heart Song sings just a number of times. I would say they're out probably on average twice a month throughout the year, and at times of this time of year, it sometimes ends up being, I think we've probably been out 4, 5, 6 times here in December, or will before December is over.
Well, if somebody wants to book Heart Song or the chorus, is there a website, a phone number? What would you like?
Yes, if you go to our website, we've got a great one, kcwomenschorus.org, and there's all the contact information for contacting me about booking Heart Song or even the chorus. Mm-hmm. Is right there.
If they want to book their course for a private event, I'm sure there's a charge involved.
We
can't go into that.
Yeah, we don't have a charge. Just a donation is always nice.
Just so they know that that's the case. But they could go to kcwomenschorus.org.
Correct.
And get that information.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll probably get offers now.
Well, I hope so. We'll be turning people away.
That's right. And the same for Scott. You have a website. Westport Center for the Arts.
www.wcakc.org.
Okay, wcakc.org.
Yeah, we have a wonderful person, Ray Peterson, runs our website, and she's great. www.wcakc.org.
Yeah, well, the big brown bag concert is coming up. It features Heart Song, which is, as we learned, part of the Kansas City Women's Chorus. They'll be performing this Friday, December 18th at 12:10 p.m. So you think all these concerts start at night and go late. As Cindy said earlier, that you can clock out for lunch.
There you go.
Go over to the Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 1700 Westport Road. Hear the concert. It'll last approximately how long?
We should be finished right around 1 o'clock.
Around 1 o'clock, so you would have then 10 minutes to get back and clock back in for lunch. Very convenient for people that live in the area.
Yeah.
If you want to make a special plan of it, the Emmanuel Lutheran Church is at 1700 Westport Road. I suppose the best way would be to come down Broadway or Southwest Traffic Way. Which would work the best?
I'm thinking Southwest Traffic Way. Well, it depends on where you're coming from.
Sure,
but,
true.
But if you're coming off of 35, if you get on Southwest Traffic Way.
It's pretty close to the state line on Westport
Road.
Right. Yeah. You need to get familiar with Westport.
You can go up Rainbow Avenue, go past KU and hang a left, or you can take a right there on Westport Road at the Conestoga wagon.
That wagon's been there a long time, hasn't it? Or you can go to kcwomenschorus.org and get the information off of that, and you can send them an email message, as I often do.
There you go.
And you get one back with some details on any questions that you might have, as well as the Brown Bag Concert Series presented by the Westport Center for the Arts at their website as well. Well, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Cindy, for the group coming on Friday. We're looking forward to it.
So are we.
Yeah. Noontime concert, 12:10 p.m. on Friday the 18th. If you're in the area, you might want to check it out.
Very good.
Give it a shot. Thanks so much for being with us. Dr. Cindy Shepherd, the artistic director of the Kansas City Women's Chorus, and the board president. I would sometimes jokingly say, I always want to go right to the top.
Such as it is.
Send me the send me the president of the organization. That's what I want.
Such as it is.
Scott Myers, the president of the board of the Westport Center for the Arts. Thanks. Both of you.
Thank you so much for being with us.
The holiday season is loaded with things. Still yet another event that you could take in for your holiday celebration.
Okay.
No matter what belief system you're in, you'll enjoy these events. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Jazz Insider, Sam Wiseman, is next. He's going to be playing some great jazz for you. We'll have jazz from 1 to 3. Then we'll pick up with the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI. Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you.